Welcome back to this second hour of Leading Edge Medicine. Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only. Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians, all while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you the opportunity to participate in the show. Now, here are your hosts for Leading Edge Medicine, Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat, along with their co-host, Lynette Morgan.
And welcome back. It's Leading Edge Medicine. My name is Lynette, here with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat. Let me give you that phone number. Phone lines are open for you to call in with your questions. It's 1-800-465-8770. That's 800-465-8770. Call and get in line with your questions like Mark and Paul and Jim and Lou. And we have Hilmer on the line. We're talking about rapamycin.
Okay.
All right.
Well, actually, we're talking about triglycerides.
Triglycerides now. But, hi.
Actually, the number was 174, not 150. It's 174. I'm just looking at it right now.
So more than tripled. So, you had a 300% rise. That's not likely to be the rapamycin when you're as skinny as you are. 11% body fat is pretty lean. So.
But incidentally, I've been gaining muscle mass. I was like 180. I was just on the scale yesterday. I was 186, and my body fat. I haven't gained any body fat. I've just gained muscle mass. And I think I've heard somewhere that if you're gaining or losing weight, that your triglycerides can change.
Yes, they can.
Correct?
But mostly that's looking at fat mass. If you're eating more than your body can handle, more than your body needs, and your blood sugar is trying to rise, but you're not producing enough insulin to drive it into the cells because the cells can only absorb so much sugar at a time. They don't, they're not trying to raise your body temperature and cook you. So what happens is the sugar hits your liver. Your liver converts it to triglycerides. The triglycerides circulate through your body, and then the adipocytes, the fat cells, suck up the triglycerides and turn it into your body fat. So in people that have insulin resistance, the weight gain that they're getting is actually a secondary method of trying to lower their blood sugar, to keep their sugar from going too high. And again, if they're losing weight, those triglycerides are coming back out of the fat cells and circulating around so that they can go back to the liver, and you can then produce, gluconeogenesis. You now make sugar for your cells to burn. In your case, you're already lean. You're only making muscle, and that makes good sense. I mean, rapamycin decreases the load of senescent cells in your body, and it directly helps to produce muscle. So the combination of lower senescent cells, you're no longer inhibiting your muscle growth with exercise. Okay. So by lowering your senescent cells and by directly promoting muscle function, you are going to get stronger. Rapamycin makes your heart stronger, your skin, your bones, your ligaments, your muscles all improve on rapamycin. It's a nice drug. I just wish we knew how much you should be taking and how often you should take it. I'm currently, exploring some things with some research folks that may have some answers for us, but I don't have the answers yet. We're still trying to put that together. But,
the effects of the it's transitory, right? I mean, in other words, when it burns out of your system,
when it's rapamycin, Yeah, if rapamycin's doing it, it will be transient. It will not stay up.
Right. Okay. Okay. All right. I just want to check my sanity because I go, oh, my gosh, I've never seen anything like this.
No, you're sane. You're sane. I just can't tell you for sure which, you know, which is going on. You know, I always question lab work because nothing done to or by human beings is perfect, and that includes our laboratories. And once in a while, when we run these things through the machine, you know, the machine will go bip when it should have gone bop, and instead we get a result that makes no sense. And whenever I get a result that makes no sense, my first thought is, repeat the test.
Mm-hmm. I feel great, though. I mean, I really noticed how I've gotten, you know, gotten stronger. I'm no doubt about it, which comes along with obviously the muscle mass gain. So yes. I mean, I feel great, but I just saw that number and I go, I better check with somebody about that number.
Okay.
Anyway, all right. Thank you so
thank
much.
Thank you for the call. Bye bye.
All right. Thank you for the call. Leading Edge Medicine, and you can call to be part of the show if you've got a question about a diagnosis, some symptoms, or just something about your health you're not understanding as your body is aging and changing. Please give us a call, 800-465-877. Dr. Jerry Mixon here and Dr. Samiri Umat to talk with you as well. We're going to head to Federal Way. Gary is on the line. Hi there, Gary. Welcome to Leading Edge.
Hello, Gary.
Good morning. Thank you. So I have a two-part question. So I have an enlarged prostate, and I underwent a TURP procedure late last year. My urologist said because it's so big, I would likely need to have another one, another procedure. But then I also heard that you have some process that you've started using that helps shrink the prostate. And I'm wondering if I would potentially be a candidate for that, having already gone through the TURP.
You would potentially be a candidate for that, yes. The question is, okay, you know, can we provide you with any guarantees or assurance that it's going to help? No. You know, this is a process we've been doing for a few guys. The literature is showing that, indeed, a fair number of men with urinary hesitancy improve when we use the sound wave therapy on the prostate. So it's certainly a possibility, but let me ask you, what else are you doing to improve your urine flow with your enlarged prostate?
So I'm trying to do better with my diet. I am a patient down in the Tacoma Clinic, and so they've got me, taking several, supplements and medications through that. And right now that's it. Trying to get more exercise, just general health things.
Good. Are you on tadalafil?
Yes.
Okay, good. Because tadalafil is usually my first go-to. It not only helps the erectile dysfunction, but it lowers the risk of prostate cancer by about 50%, and it helps men to urinate more efficiently. So that's, you know, that's a good thing.
Okay. Very good.
And then the last caller was talking about rapamycin, so that's on my mind, obviously. When we're having several of our guys that are finding that going on rapamycin makes them urinate more efficiently. And so that is another possibility. My impression is,
I'll talk to him next time I'm in about that.
Yeah, you might chat with him about the rapamycin. And then the Viasure device that we're using, which is basically a sound wave therapy, except instead of using it directly on the penis, we're using it on the perineum and down at the very base of the penile crux. That is indeed helping some of our guys to urinate better, too.
Yeah, in fact, it was driven by a patient, somebody who had actually seen the literature and asked us about it, brought us the literature, because we were not using it for that purpose.
No, we were not.
And his results were incredible, and so we then started using it more and more. So, you know, to speak to Dr. Prochaska in Tacoma is the one who will be performing that procedure if you are a good candidate. So speak to him about it. We do a score in the sense that there's a questionnaire, and they ask you symptoms before and then afterwards to see whether it's working for you or not. And then just chat with him about it as a consult to see if you're a good candidate. And then obviously there's no guarantee, but, you know, rather than just jump into another procedure, I would explore other non-surgical interventions. No
my
downtime
exactly.
with this, okay? Yeah, then there's no downtime okay. with this either. So it might be worthwhile to find out.
Well, and the interesting thing is right now I'm not really having as much of the symptoms as I just had the procedure in October, right. and it uh-huh. helped a lot, but the doctor is saying I would likely need another one. The other part of this question is I went for my first post-surgical follow-up a couple of weeks ago, and, you know, they ask what medications and supplements you're taking, and he kind of a little bit came unglued when he found out I was taking testosterone. He said, I absolutely yeah. should not be taking it. It will cause my prostate to grow. And then he looked at the other things I'm taking. He kind of basically said I shouldn't be taking any of them.
yeah,
I wanted to get your read because I didn't quite buy into that.
No, well, and I don't either. The reality is that, you know, testosterone, way back with Dr. Huggins in 1941, slammed testosterone. And we now know it doesn't cause prostate cancer. It's not what causes prostatic enlargement, except in a very roundabout way. What happens is to cause the prostate to enlarge in older men. Young men have very high testosterone. They have very small prostates. Okay. And as men get older, the testosterone level is going down and down and down, and the prostate's getting bigger and bigger and bigger. How can the low testosterone in old men cause the big prostate when young men with a high testosterone have tiny prostates? I mean, that just makes no sense. You know, but what is changing is your progesterone level is dropping. Young men have a lot of progesterone. Progesterone has an effect on the alpha estrogen receptors in the prostate. And so, especially as men get old, they tend to get fatter. And fat contains an enzyme called aromatase that converts testosterone into estrogen. Okay. The estrogen receptor, if it doesn't have enough progesterone, immortalizes the cells in the prostate so they don't die as fast. And so the prostate gets bigger and bigger and bigger. That's one of the reasons that most of my doctors use progesterone in men. Our idea is to get your progesterone level high enough and keep it high enough so that your prostate will stop getting bigger. So,
okay.
So yes, the testosterone can be converted to estrogen by your body fat. The estrogen can trigger the immortalization of the prostate cells because you don't have enough progesterone. Two things. Get rid of the body fat.
Yeah.
Okay. And use enough progesterone to keep your prostate from enlarging further.
And, you know, the other thing is it's very hard to get rid of the body fat without testosterone.
It is. Because muscle burns fat 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The more muscle you got, the easier it is to get rid of your fat.
Okay, very good. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
You're welcome, sir. Take care. Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you for that, Gary. You are listening to Leading Edge Medicine, brought to you by Longevity Medical Clinics. And before we take our next break, we've got something exciting going on at all three of our clinics today. And it's not too late to get in on this, right, Dr. Umet? It's the gallery test.
Exactly right. Yeah, for February for cancer awareness and cancer prevention, the gallery test, a simple blood test that detects 50 different types of cancers. And, you know, I can understand that there is a fear about, do I want to know, do I have cancer? But the thing is that the sooner you find out, the better off you'll be. And sometimes if you're reading the news and the literature, you're reading that the incidence of colon cancer is rising and is being detected in younger and younger people. And we really don't have a screening for younger people. In fact, we don't even screen until they're age 45 and we're picking up cancers in their 20s and 30s. But the gallery test is a very good screening for these dangerous types of cancers for which there is no other marker.
Okay.
And And so with that, and also, you know, there are people who want to know who have no access, no other way of getting it done. And so every time we've done this, we've really had a very good turnout. And again, all three clinics have lots of patients booked all day.
Well, just the morning only.
Mm-hmm. I know that they will accommodate you if you're interested, because we have teams in the clinics anyways.
They've got times that they can slip you in, but you do need an appointment.
Yes.
And that is for today, the gallery test screening going on at all three of our clinics in Tacoma and Linwood and in Kirkland as well. And if you're going, I want to get in on that today, you can. Here is the number to call and schedule that appointment, 866-86-YOUNG. That's 866-86-YOUNG. You're listening to Leading Edge Medicine. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be back. Phone lines are open for you with your questions at 800-465-8770. That's 800-465-8770. We'll be right back. Stay right there.
Don't you know?
We're sitting right now, but Dr. Mixon, you met usually standing or dancing studios here of Leading Edge Medicine. Good morning. This is hour number two, and you can get through with your questions, 800-465-8770. Real quick, going to take a call from Philip in Puyallup. He had a question about the gallery test, which is today. So, hi there, Philip. Welcome.
Hello, Philip. How can we help?
Good morning. I was listening to Dan Bongino's show yesterday or the day before, and he mentioned something that just kind of shocked me, and I didn't get all of it, Dr. Mixon, so I hope you heard about it, but apparently from what he was saying was that the government is going to limit access to the gallery test.
Well, yes, no, kind of.
They're going to try, maybe? Is that
well, no, it's the gallery folks, people that make it, are trying to get it covered by Medicare. So they're applying to the government for Medicare approval. And it looks like it's going to be turned down.
Okay.
Because Medicare, for all it's talking about, you know, wanting to keep you healthy, doesn't really want to spend money on healthy people. And so, you know, Medicare is just
that. That was kind of the point that he was making, is he was saying that they don't want people to find out that they have these cancers, because if they do, then they have to treat them.
Mm. Well, that's true, but I think it goes a little further than that. When the government is deciding whether to approve or something, they look at what is called cost effectiveness, okay? And they basically assign a dollar value to each condition. For instance, if a 70-year-old dies, that is worth a lot less in dollar values than if a 30-year-old dies. Because a 30-year-old has got another 25 years of productive lifestyle, making money, adding to the economy, and paying taxes. Okay. The 70-year-old is retired. He's consuming tax money in the form of his Social Security and Medicare payments, and he's not contributing much. And so his life is not worth as much. It's really what the calculation is. So if you've got a test to save the lives of young people, it's worth more. So they look at the gallery test and they say, okay, it's basically $1,000 a pop, okay? At $1,000 a pop, if 1% of the people are positive, that means you have spent $100,000 to find one case of cancer, usually in a person who's already in their 60s and 70s or 80s. So is that economically worthwhile for the government? Well, they say, well, at $100,000 to discover a cancer in someone that's probably going to die in the next few years anyway, it's too much. We don't want to do it. On the other hand, if your life is you think is worth $1,000 because you're only putting out the $1,000 and not $100,000, okay, and it's your life that's on the line, is it worthwhile? It's a different calculation. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. So the government acting as your insurance company, because that's what Medicare is, government is acting as your insurance company. And the insurance company makes money by collecting premiums, not by paying claims. And so, sure, you know, how many claims do they want to pay? Well, at you know, $1,250 a test, they don't think it's worth $125,000 to find a cancer in an elderly person.
Well, like I said, I didn't catch all of what he was saying, and I hope you had heard about this, because the way he made it sound was that they weren't going to let people get these tests done whether they paid for them out of the pocket or not. So,
well, they'll have difficulty doing that. If people want to pay themselves, the government has very little control over it. You're free and able to enter into a contract with anything you want.
So even if a person pays out of pocket and finds out they have these cancers, well, then the insurance companies have to pay for it.
Then they have to pay for it. That's right. Then your Medicare and your co-pays and stuff come into play. Yep.
But if people don't know they have the cancer, then they're not going to be able to get any treatment for it until it's probably too late.
You got it. That's precisely what's going on. Yeah.
All right, Dr. Mixon. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you for that call, Philip.
I'll just add a little bit more to what you just is. You know, sometimes people, we also have patients that will tell us, well, I don't know of somebody who can help me once I get a positive result. Well, Gallery and us, we work together to make sure that we find a person who can help the patient.
Yes.
And so either it's in a big hospital setting, or it's a geneticist, or it's a primary care provider, or it's a specialist. But they do have resources, and we work with them, and their team is pretty aggressive in this. They get back to us very quickly because it's important to get that patient seen quickly.
Yeah. Yeah, so don't worry about that. If you had a positive test, we'll help you find people to follow it up.
And that's the Gallery test. Someone was trying to get that number to make an appointment today. So let me give you that number again. That is for the Gallery test screening that we're doing today, this morning, at all three of the clinics, Kirkland, Tacoma, and Linwood. Here is that number to call. You do have to have an appointment. The number is 866 86 Young. Okay, you just put those letters in. And now I'll just give you the numbers, the same numbers, if you'd rather do that. 866-869-6864. Okay, that's for the Gallery test. 866-869-6864. It's just easier to remember as 866-86 Young. And you can call them right now.
And, you know, if they're not answering, it might be because they're busy.
Yes, it's a busy morning at all clinics.
Skeleton staff only. It's not a full team is not there. And if you don't hear back right now, then they will reach out to you as quickly as they can. If not today, they'll call you Monday or as soon as possible. And I know that they would love to see you. So leave your message and see when you hear back from them.
Very good. Okay, the time is 9:24. Here is that number to call through, call to get through with your questions. The phone lines are open at 800-465-8770, and we're headed to Tacoma. John is on the line. We have John. Welcome to Leading Edge Medicine.
Hello, John.
Good morning. So I've been a patient at Longevity for a long time, including with Dr. Mixon, and he and I are the same age.
Okay.
I've had this problem, at least certainly for a year or so, that I have to get up to 8 times a night.
Oops.
And when I wake up, I feel like, you know, you better go do a pee now. And I do, and it's quick, and it's over with. And then take some more melatonin and go back to sleep for another hour and a half. I've asked around to see, you know, what might be an issue. I had prostate cancer treatment, but it was radiation and unfortunately some radioactive seeds that were hammered in and destroyed everything for a while, but it's come back. So I'd researched some of the other things you guys have, but I was just curious what might be a possibility.
Well, what I'm concerned about is you may well have radiation damage to the bladder, and you're just getting spasm. You know, normally, when somebody that has not had prostate therapies, we think, oh, the prostate is big, but it's unlikely in your case, because your prostate is probably very, very small as a result of all the radiation. Still, that radiation can do damage to the bladder neck, and can make it very, very irritable. So I guess a couple of things. First, you ought to go in and see your urologist, though. You know, let him do a cystoscopy, let him do some imaging, make sure that indeed all of that prostate is gone, that you don't have recurrent tumor of some sort. I mean, how long ago was your cancer therapy?
I'd say about 2 years.
Okay, well, 2 years is fairly close.
They didn't remove the prostate or anything. It's still there.
Yeah, well, but my point is usually the radiation will cause it to shrink way down and be quite small. But
it was the CyberKnife version. So.
Okay. So they may not have shrunk the prostate enough. You might be getting prostatic obstruction of the urethra. So, you know, you need to go in, you need to have a cystoscopy, he needs to put a scope up into the bladder, he needs to do a quick ultrasound study looking for urinary retention and for prostate size. Because it's either the prostate is big enough that it's impinging on the urethra, or you've got radiation damage from your therapy to the bladder itself. And as the guy on the telephone, I have no way of knowing which is the more likely. So
what do you do based on what you find out?
Well, if it's the prostate that is enlarged to the point that it is obstructing the urethra, then we can, there are a wide variety of surgical procedures available to open up that channel to basically debulk part of the prostate. They range everywhere from laser therapies, the old-fashioned TURP, to the prostatic artery embolization. There's a hydro ablation that is being done that has a very, very low risk of side effects. Probably if they're going to go in and remove part of the prostate surgically, the hydro ablation is probably the least traumatic, although it's probably also one of the newest ones, so there's fewer doctors around who do it. Or if the prostate is not impinging and what you've got is radiation damage to the bladder neck, then you've got, in some ways, a bigger problem because now you've got a bladder whose nerves and structure have been damaged by radiation. And we're going to be mostly, I suspect, stuck with medications trying to get rid of the spasm so that you get an ability to sleep, you know, 6 or 8 hours instead of 1 hour. So,
okay.
Step one,
thank you.
Go get the problem evaluated. Find out what we're dealing with. Remember, one of my many adages, first diagnosis, then therapy. You don't know what you're dealing with, the chances of treating it properly are very low, okay?
Well, I've recently seen the urologist. We didn't come up with anything, and I'm in for a referral already to see him again. So,
all right. Sounds good. Okay, thank you, sir. Bye-bye.
Thank you for the call, John. And the phone lines are open. Right now is the time to get in. Not at the last minute of our show. We have 1.5 hour left to go on Leading Edge Medicine. 800-465-8770. That's 800-465-8770 to call in with your questions. We'll be right back. Stay right there.
song, Forever Young, with Rod Stewart, who's forever young, still having children, 79. There you go, Dr. Mixon. You can, your quiver is quite full, though. You've had several children.
Yes. I've had seven by birth and two by adoption.
There you go. Yes, I think you've done well.
On a biological standpoint, of course, a person's success is determined by their ability to add to the gene pool of the human race. And so I'm a fairly successful man.
Okay, you've done that. In fact, you've probably helped out a few that have decided not to have children. Then you've kind of had extra for them to cover
That's
them.
Right.
So
you got it.
Before we take our next call, and you can get through at 800-465-8770, I want to remind you about that free health analysis that we offer at all three of our longevity clinics. In fact, some of those people getting those done today as part of the gallery test, and you can still get in on that free health analysis. This is just a couple of simple tests, but they tell the doctors so much.
Yeah, you come in for a blood test, which basically tells us whether you are at risk for prediabetes or not. And it's not just the diabetes. It's just the higher sugar level is damaging to every part of your body. And it affects the smallest of blood vessels first. People don't even think that it might be damaging their eyes. But that's what we're looking for. We're looking for, you know, eyes, brain, kidneys. And that simple test will give us a lot of information. And then the second one is the in-body, where we're looking at muscle to fat ratio everywhere in your body, and also relationship to water. So I'm not just interested in what is your weight and therefore what is your BMI based on your height, but where is the fat in your body, and is that fat dangerous for you or not? Because by now you would have heard about visceral fat. If you're listening to us, visceral fat is dangerous fat. It's inside your organs, surrounding your abdominal organs, and causing damage to the organs, and a marker for inflammation. And chronic inflammation damages a lot of different things. It's something you don't even see, you don't even know, nobody's telling you about it. But that's what we're looking for. We're looking for risk factors that might affect you as you're getting older, but in real time. And how to reverse it, because this is all reversible. Mm-hmm. And so there's no point in measuring things that we can't help you with. So we measure things that we know we can help change, and therefore in real time really make you better today. We're not looking for 10, 20 years down the road, although our patients have been with us for that long. But we're looking in real time, how are we impacting on your life today, tomorrow, and how are we making things better? So those two markers are just the segue into a whole different area. I mean, a lot of people say they get longevity when they get to longevity, because there's so many things that we're doing to identify risk factors and to minimize them. Again, we're not going to change your future. It's not that kind of a clinic, but we literally can, because we're picking up identifying markers for disease early. We're educating you about them, and we're helping you change that future.
Very good. If you'd like to schedule your free health analysis appointment, find out where you are, please give us a call. And that is the number that we like to use each week on our show. 866-86-YOUNG is the number. 866-86-YOUNG. And that's the number to call in and schedule your appointment for your free health analysis. You can also go to our website and get lots of information. lmclinic.com. That's lmclinic.com for more information and to schedule. We want to see you in here. We want to see you so much healthier. We want to see you stronger,
faster,
yes,
leaner, smarter, sexier, and happier.
Yes. That number to make your appointment is 866-86-YOUNG. We want to see you in here, and we want it. We love it when you call in and say, I'm a patient of longevity, and then share your story. So there you go. Very important to do that and get in and get seen by the doctors at Longevity and the staff. All right, we're going to go to the phones. We have some callers. Jeff from Snohomish. Welcome to the show, Jeff. Thank you for calling.
Well, let me tell you, I'm a patient of longevity.
Yay!
I've been a patient of longevity for about 2 years.
Wonderful.
I love it. I go in for the regular checkups and all that. And I heard about a therapy that's really intriguing. I'm also a cardiac patient, and as of about 7 years ago, had a heart attack 7 years ago. It was a STEMI. And so this therapy is called pulsed electromagnetic field therapy, and it comes recommended by someone within the longevity system. What do you guys think about that? Dr. Mixon, do you have an opinion on that?
I'm still ambivalent. I don't know. You know, electrical field therapy is something I've seen talked about at a couple of meetings, but I haven't really pulled enough papers on it to see what the long-term, large-scale numbers are telling us. So it's an interesting concept, and I hope that it will pan out, but I'm not sure.
What are you wanting to use it for?
So because I have circulatory issues and systemic inflammation, I was hoping that this would be something that can help curb this cardiovascular disease or at least get it under control. And then I'm very active with my workouts as well, so something to help with recovery would be great.
Okay.
On a side note, there is a family member of mine that's battling a skin disease called pyoderma gangrenosum. And I think that that's an autoimmune and circulatory disease, if I've got that right.
Yes, it is.
So I'm hoping that this therapy may be useful for that, too.
Okay. You know, I'm guessing that if we can get the thymus rejuvenation therapies where we can kick your immune system back into gear where it was 30, 40 years ago, that we're going to basically decrease the age-related inflammatory growth with the cardiovascular disease and the autoimmune diseases that we're seeing right now. If I were going to lay a bet, I would bet that the restoration of your youthful immune system is going to be more effective than any external field therapy that anybody is coming up with. That's where I'm basically putting my bet right now.
But you know, Jerry, there's really no harm.
No, there's no harm.
Yeah.
The only negative effect I have seen is on your pocketbook. And even there, it's fairly modest. You know, it's not one of these things where you're making a $100,000 investment. So the out-of-pocket is modest enough, and if it helps, it helps. If it doesn't help, well, you haven't wasted a fortune. And quite frankly, right now, the therapy to restore your immune system is looking like it's going to cost a fair bit more.
Mm.
Because that's going to require a year or 18 months of growth hormone therapies. And so, you know, but we'll see.
Yeah, that's great.
You know,
I appreciate the feedback.
Yeah, Dr. Steven Sinatra used to talk a lot about this in the age management and regenerative medicine. And as a cardiologist, he strongly believed in it.
Yeah.
In fact, he used to say that when he hosts his small group seminars, everybody would have to have put their phones and everything aside.
Yes.
And they wouldn't have access to it during the course of the meeting. And, you know, he would encourage people to walk on grass, bare feet, on the ground, which we don't do anymore.
No.
When was the last time we did that? And so the electromagnetic, I do believe there is some component of circulation that may help with this. Nerve pain, back pain, I've had some people that have tried it, some successfully and some not. And again, no downside to it.
Well,
but
except freezing your toes off in the wintertime.
Yeah, doing
for
it
your
now
dry
in the grass
around here.
38 degrees, yeah. Really
no, cold. Nobody's gotten frostbite yet.
No.
Sorry. And like I said, I'm ambivalent. Yeah, I've heard Dr. Sinatra talk about it.
Yeah.
I've been to the meetings where they do it. And it sounds interesting.
Yeah.
But for some reason, I've never been enthused enough to run home and start diving into the peer-reviewed literature.
Fair enough.
I get what I get at the meeting, and then I go home and pretty much ignore it.
Fair enough.
So
fair enough. And Dr. Sinatra has unfortunately passed away since then, but I've always enjoyed my meetings with him, brief interactions, but genuine, caring human being.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. No, I mean,
I
never had the impression that he was, you know, a fraud.
Yeah.
Clearly he believed everything he was saying.
Right.
I just don't know if he was right or not. That's my question. You were going to say something?
Yeah, that's great. Thanks, Dr. Umat. I appreciate the feedback from both of you, so that's great. I have one other question, but I'll save it for another show if you've got other callers behind me.
Nope, you know, go ahead. We've got another minute or two to get your question.
Mm-hmm. All right, so I'm the proud owner of a 6-millimeter kidney stone. And this is a new addition to my family.
Wow.
I'm not very happy.
Go big
or
go home. Wow.
Right, and so I'm curious about underlying causes for something like, I think it's a calcium oxalate, I believe, is the stone.
That's the most common one,
Do you have any suggestions?
Yeah. Well, obviously, low oxalate diets. The green leafy vegetables, the legumes, the grains, all the stuff we tell people to eat because it's healthy also happen to be high in oxalates. Mm. And for people with a particular genetic propensity, those oxalates end up precipitating out as salts and forming, you know, crystals, which then can coalesce into a full-size stone. Are you having pain, or was it a incidental finding on ultrasound or something?
Oh, no, it was substantial pain. And it's big enough that this type of stone won't pass through the ureter.
Right.
And so I've got a surgery scheduled for mid-month.
Okay. Well, yeah.
Avoid this, healthy food. All right.
It's pretty just, I always hate that because, you know, the very foods that we tell people are going to lower the risk of cancer, lower the risk of heart disease, improve their cognitive function, give them a longer life, also happen to be the very same foods that increase the risk of kidney stones. Mm. We're back to Dr. Mixon's first rule of medicine. Anything strong enough to help is strong enough to hurt. You know, it helps this person, it hurts that person. And you know, when we're given advice, we're looking for what helps the most people and hurts the fewest. Mm. But there's always somebody's going to get hurt from any advice we give. Mm. That's why medicine needs to be intensely individualized. Mm. So,
mm-hmm. That is one of the reasons that I really enjoy Longevity Medical Clinic, is that individualized one-hour meeting with my doctor. I really appreciate that. Thank you.
Well,
thanks for helping us.
Thank you, sir. Bye-bye.
Well, good luck to you with the surgery.
Yes.
I hope you have a great outcome. I know that, you know, and I sincerely believe this, too, that with our clinics, we do stack the odds to help you deal with whatever life is bringing your way.
Yep.
So call us back after the surgery. Let us know how you did, okay? Good luck with it.
There you go.
Will do. Thank you, Dr.
All right.
I appreciate it.
Thank you for that, Jeff. Ed, we're going to talk with you after the break. Stay right there. This is Leading Edge Medicine. We'll be back.
Neil Nelson, MD, 425-823-4000. That's 425-823-4000 or danielnelsonmd.com.
I can see clearly now, the rain is gone. I can see all obstacles in my way. Gone are the dark clouds that had me blind. It's gonna be a bright sunshiny day.
But cold, 38 degrees, 46 your high today.
Oh, a bright sunshiny day with some clouds. Welcome to it.
Sun breaks.
Yeah, sun breaks and some clouds and a chance of rain tomorrow during the big game. Hey, 11 minutes away from 10 o'clock. This is Leading Edge Medicine. We have Ed on the line. Ed is calling in from Bellevue. Welcome to the show, Ed.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
I have ongoing vestibular migraines. I mean, it's every day, much of the day. And the doctors are trying out antidepressants. And I'm concerned about long-term use and having to kind of build up the level, and the side effects aren't real good. And that's kind of question one, what might be your comments on that? And the second thing is, I've heard that Botox is like a miracle drug for migraines. So if you had any ideas or comments.
Okay. Well, I mean, at Bella Medica, we use Botox for wrinkles, but I'm not sure we've ever done it for migraines.
No, we won't. But then, you know, as a medical condition, Botox for medical use is approved by insurance.
Yes, it is.
So your neurologist can do that for you if you're a candidate and get it covered under your insurance network.
Right. Yeah. There's a new drug that, if it's true migraine, and I'm not even sure how to say the name. It's VYEPTI. So I'd say, you know, Vyepti.
But I think they have to use it on TV.
Yeah. It's every 3 months, it's an IV therapy. It's kind of odd for migraine. I'm used to migraine, you know, that we had a nasal sprays, we've had pills forever. This is a new one that works in a totally different mechanism. And it actually bonds to a protein that they think triggers the migraine. And so, yeah, it's an office treatment. You go into the doctor's office. He runs a brief IV bag, usually a 50 cc or 100 cc. So 15, 20 minutes to get the medication in. And it is purportedly very effective for people that are having very, very frequent migraines, to knock it down for up to 3 months.
Wait, you said vestibular migraine, though. So what are your symptoms?
There's not a lot of pain, but I feel kind of loopy.
Dizzy.
Or vacant.
Yeah.
My face feels numb. Sometimes balance issues. There's not a lot of auras. I've had some. It's just, I feel exhausted all the time.
Sure.
It increases my tinnitus, if that's, I don't remember if that's how you pronounce it or not. So,
Right.
But I think my concern is being on long-term antidepressants. I mean, obviously they have their use, but just, it seems like you start out and you just keep taking, you know, you keep upping the dose, and I'm a little concerned about being on something that could be sort of mood altering if it's not necessary.
Well, for sure.
And the side effects of most of the antidepressants, they almost all cause weight gain and fatigue. You know, they do alter your sensorium, which I'm not crazy about if you don't absolutely have to have it. So I guess I'm echoing your very same concerns about the antidepressant therapy.
For sure. But for vestibular headaches, you know, that has been the good. Hey, let me ask you something. Have you noticed any triggers in your food?
You know, I was off. I lowered my sodium way down for a while, and that didn't seem to change anything. And also, I cut out caffeine of any kind, and you know, I don't really notice that has been, I mean, I can have a good cup of coffee or something and it doesn't seem to cause any reaction. I get these in the middle of the night, any time of the day. I'll wake up and my head is just pounding again without pain, but it's just pounding. So.
Okay. Because, you know, MSG is a trigger for vestibular headaches.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're eating food that has MSG in it, you might want to kind of stay away from that.
Which would be most Asian foods, Chinese foods, et cetera.
Yeah. And I know a lot of restaurants will now say no MSG because they recognize that some people are very sensitive to it. But for vestibular headaches particularly, that might be a trigger. So you might want to be careful about that.
We'll have to look more into my food consumption.
And I know sometimes it's hard to correlate. Sometimes, you know, the symptoms come later or you cannot make the direct association. But definitely there is a dietary component to this. So you might want to see something that you're consuming regularly that might be triggering this. And if you were to stop for a little while, do one or two things at a time so that you can kind of pick up what is really causing it. And or, you know, another option is food sensitivity testing. You can have your provider do this for you. And I find that it really does help.
Okay. I hadn't thought about that. Hey, listen, well, thanks very much for the ideas, and have a great weekend.
Well, thank you, sir.
Yeah, thank you for that, Ed.
Anyway.
Just a few minutes left today. We might be able to get a call in, 800-465-8770. But let's find out what's going on at the clinics. How are we doing there at the clinics? Anything new that we want to share?
What?
Something you're excited about? You're always excited.
I'm always excited.
Yes, you are, Dr. Umat.
I mean, I love, what's not to love? Dr. Mixon came up one day and he goes, do you like your new office? And I looked at him and I looked around and I said, what's not to like about
yes.
this?
Oh,
I love everything
yes.
about it. But I think what drives me most is my patient interactions. Mm. It's not just that everybody's always happy. Believe me, they're not. And a lot of times it's solving problems. But you know, when you go back to the basic physiological principles of a problem and you work at the root cause and people actually mm-hmm. transform their lives, it really is amazing at the results that they can get. When they walk in for the first time and statements like, I feel like I'm a dead corpse walking around. And, aww. And at 3 months and 1 month later, you start their program, you talk to them 1 month later, I'm better and go, oh my God, this is life changing. So, you know, so many different things have happened. But that is not, you know, rare for me. That happens a lot in our three clinics.
Yes, it does.
All of our providers in all three clinics, report incidents like this on a regular basis. And that's what inspires me, that you have the time, you listen to a patient, you care about them enough to delve into their problems, and yet basic physiology is telling you that there's a physiological root to this problem, and you address that physiology and you can help that patient. Sometimes it's simple and sometimes it's not. But as you go through the journey with your patient, you find out what's going on with them, and the ability to spend an hour, and I used to think, my God, an hour, how, what am I going to talk about? And I'm a physiatrist. I'm used to spending 40 minutes for new patients and sometimes seeing very complex people. But here, a lot of times, my 1 hour is not enough.
I know it.
It's gone, and I'm looking at the clock, and I hate it, and I go, I want to talk to you more, but I'm so sorry somebody's waiting for me, and I will call you back, or we'll set up another meeting, or call me later. And that hour just goes by, and it's fun, it's engaging, I learn, they learn, and we fix issues, and then when I come back with them for another meeting, you know, we do it again.
Mm-hmm.
But who would have thought you can spend hours talking to people and still feel like you haven't really dealt with everything you need to deal with?
You know, it's so funny because the average doctor is actually in the room with a patient about 6 or 7 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, they get all the paramedical people spending most of the time getting the weights and the blood pressures and the histories and all the stuff. And the doctor zips right in and they're there, you know, 6 or 7 minutes and they're on their way. And our doctors are there for a full hour.
Mm-hmm.
And that gives them a time to really get to know you, know your problems, know your history, and work through solutions. Because the solutions don't always instantly come to mind.
Right.
Sometimes you got to ask more questions and get answers and think about it and, you know, work with the patient to get a solution for their problem.
Right. And those that are really close to the problem have already been looking at certain things, and those that I may not even know about, and they'll go, what do you think about that? And I always have to say, I'll have to sleep on it, I'll have to research it, and I'll have to call you back.
Yes.
Yes. Mm. Except on this show, you don't get that chance.
No, on the show, you don't
That's
get the chance.
Right.
That's why I like to have you around, because you usually have something to say, and I'm thinking.
Yeah, well, I've been accused of talking without thinking many times in my life, so...
That's never happened to me. No, all the time. Wow. Well, it's such a wonderful show today. So many wonderful calls. Thank you so much for being a part of it again today. We are live in the studio again next week, and we welcome your calls to Leading Edge Medicine. Of course, if you'd like to get in touch with us, become a patient of longevity, at least come in for that health analysis and find out what you are at risk for so you too can talk to the doctors. That number is 866-86-YOUNG, 866-86-YOUNG. You can also go online to our website, lmclinic.com. Make that appointment. It is free for the health analysis. And we have three clinics, Linwood, Tacoma, and our new facility in Kirkland. All right. Have a great rest of your weekend. And we will be back next week right here on Leading Edge Medicine. Thank you for listening.